back to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. Thank you, Michelle. Talking about girding up. I don't have anything to gird up with tonight. Amen. But I think you got the idea this morning if you were here. Let's stand as we read God's word. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, for those that may not have been here this morning. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, and when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you, say you, also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And I pray, Lord, that each and every person here tonight can truly say, it is well with my soul. The circumstances may be rough. The storms may be raging, but Lord, because of our relationship with you, we have the ability and the promise to be able to say, it is well with our soul. Lord, help us tonight to speak your word. Help, Lord, your servant to speak what you have laid upon our heart. But God, not only in our hearts, but especially our minds tonight. God, I believe that you want to minister healing in a special way tonight. So, Lord, we bind every distraction. We bind every rogue thought. We bind the worries of and the cares of tomorrow. Lord, that we may focus on you and your word today. And we give you the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Again, as we are looking into this passage, Christ is emphasizing the necessity to always be ready for his return. And we talked about that. How Jesus was preparing his disciples for his return, and as we said this morning, he hadn't even left at that time yet. How much closer are we today? We talked about some things that are going on right now, that even now, even in the last few weeks, have shown us that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. Every promise and every promise and every prophecy of the Lord is yea and amen. Can you say amen? Jesus said, and Micah, I'm going to go back and read a couple of things from this morning, so just kind of hang on till we get to where we need to be tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Then what type of people are we to be? What type of people are we to be? The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, because of the heavens which will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. We are to have our loins girt about with truth, as we looked at this morning. That's what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. We are to have our loins to be girded about with truth, as it says in Ephesians 6:14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What are we to have be girded about with? There's two things that the scripture tells us that we need to gird up. We need to be girded about with truth, as we just read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Two things in the scripture always represent truth. Number one, our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And the second thing that is the example of his truth, that testifies of his truth, is his word. Jesus said, sanctify them, Father, through your truth, because what? Your word is truth. In other words, our relationship with Jesus, in and through Jesus, is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, and his word is the truth. And we need to draw closer to Christ and closer to His Word more in this season of His coming than at any other time in history. Can you say amen? Living in right relationship with Jesus according to the principles of His Word, according to the principles of His truth. I am shocked about how many modern day preachers are trying to, they said, if you really want to draw a crowd, then don't use the Word that much. Don't use Scripture, because Scripture turns people off. And if we're not using the Scripture, then what are we using? What are we basing our thoughts on? What are we basing our reasonings on? My reasoning, my human reasoning, my human thought processes will fail. But His Word, what? Never fails. Can you say amen? And so, in other words, we are to gird ourselves about with truth, the truth in our relationship with Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. Can you say amen? As we do this, it will strengthen our ability to move forward as well as preparing us for His return. We are to gird ourselves about with truth. The second thing that the Bible tells us that we are to gird up, and this is where I want to get to tonight. We are to gird up the loins of our mind. We are to gird up the loins of our mind. Look with me in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, say be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The first place the enemy attacks you is what? Your mind. The first place that he attacks you is your mind. I like that phrase there in 1 Peter. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That word, that phrase, be sober, means to be sober, be calm, be collected in spirit. One commentator made this statement about that word here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We come into danger when we intoxicate ourselves on the riches and cares of this life and become unfruitful in the ways of Christ, in our relationship with Christ. The first place the enemy attacks you is your mind. I want us to go back. Mikey is not up there tonight. I love how God just kind of keeps pouring something into us. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We know this scripture. Talking about the whole armor of God. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We know that is the whole armor of God. Now, how many of us have heard all our lives that the armor of God, we are to put it on every morning? Amen. How many of us have heard that the armor of God has no armor for the backside? It is a offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. In other words, we are to take the battle to the enemy. There's no armor on the backside. How many of you ever heard that? Guess what? That's not true. Completely. From here down, there's no armor on the backside. But he says, put on the helmet of what? How many of you ever seen one of those war movies, the old time knights fighting, with those knights having half a helmet on? That helmet completely covers the head. That helmet, many of them would only have a slit for the eyes because they wanted to protect their what? That helmet covered their ears because they wanted to protect their what? Their ears. That helmet and basically was covering their senses. It was covering their mind. And that's why I believe Peter is saying, and that's why I believe the Lord is telling us tonight, to gird up the loins of our mind. The helmet of salvation is a complete covering. Because the enemy wants to attack from the side. He wants to attack from the rear. He wants to attack from above. Can you say amen? But if we've got our helmet on, if we've got our mind covered, can you say amen? If we've got our spiritual eyes protected, if we've got our spiritual ears protected, then we are able to be able to do battle in a right way. Can you say amen? Now, from here down, Guess what? But what runs this from here down? This right here. Therefore, our minds must be completely covered. The first place the enemy will attack you is your mind. Through temptations. Listen very closely. He attacks us through temptations. Through lust. Through doubt. Through discouragement. Through low self-esteem. Through depression. Boy, I'm feeling good already, Pastor Doss. Hallelujah. Through confusion. Through unbelief. Through guilt, through jealousy, through rage, through anger, through anxiety, through pride, through arrogance, through fear, through wrong judgment, wrong thoughts, wrong presumptions. Can you say amen? The enemy will attack us in our mind. It all begins in our mind. That's why, in order to be ready in our relationship with Christ, in order to be ready in our service for Christ, in order to be ready and prepared for His return, if we are going to keep our hearts right, we must first keep our heads right. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to be ready in our relationship with Christ, if we're going to be prepared in our service for Christ, if we're going to be ready for His return, if we're going to keep our hearts right, we've got to keep our heads right. Can you say amen? We've got to be girt about with truth, the truth of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the truth of His word, and we've got to have the mind of Christ. Can you say amen? I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. But we have to gird up. The Lord doesn't want us to be senseless Christians or Pentecostals. You've got to have a made-up mind to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? Again, if we're going to keep our hearts right, we must also keep our heads right. Paul says, talking to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says this, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Set your mind, set your affection on things above. Set your thought life on higher things, heavenly things, the things of God. Well, Paul said that. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, if you're going to seek, then you're going to have to set your mind on a higher level. I have found that when I get in trouble is when I begin to get low vision. I'm looking at a lower level. The Lord Jesus Christ to John in the book of Revelation, He says, come up here, look up here. I like what David says. He says, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Can you say amen? Amen. We've got to set our minds on the... Somebody says, well, sometimes they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've heard me say this many times. Too many times, I'm afraid we're too earthly minded to be any heavenly good. It's a matter of what we're viewing. It's a matter of what we're focusing on. It's a matter of what we're setting our eyes on, setting our minds on. Can you say amen? Amen? Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says this. Are y'all with me tonight? Finally, brethren, who's he talking to? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think earnestly on these things. Meditate on these things. Set your mind on the things that are good. Set your mind on the things that are godly. Set your mind on the things that have heavenly perspective. Can you say amen? I want us to look at a few things that a girded up mind will produce. I don't know if that's a good word or not, but it sounds good anyway. A girded mind is a mind of peace. A girded mind is a mind of peace. How do we know that? Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is what stayed on him. But guess what? You've got to make a choice. that where are you going to place your mind? If my mind's going to be on the things of God, on the person of God, on the power of God, and on the presence of God. You say, Brother Doss, I've got to work. I've got to think about every other things. Yes, but by and large, you've got to have in the back of your mind, in the back of your heart, in the back of your spirit, God, I want to do this in a way that pleases you. Can you say amen? Amen. And that, I want you to know, that's just not a fancy little scripture there. That's a promise. He said, he will keep you in not just a little bit of peace, not just some peace, but what does it say? Perfect peace. Not the type of peace that the world gives. The peace that Jesus gives. The peace that passes all understanding. He says he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him because it trusts in him. So many times it's easy to trust in our own abilities. It's easy to trust in the things that we see and the things that we hear. But friends, we've got the only thing we can truly trust in is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He says he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. A girded mind is a mind of peace. A girded mind is a mind of love and obedience. Mark chapter 12 verse 30 says this, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. A girded up mind will flow out, what will flow out of a girded mind is a mind of love and obedience to the Father. Can you say amen? That we'll keep that commandment. If we're going to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, we've got to make a choice to do that. We've got to make a choice to do that. Can you say amen? We've got to choose that we're going to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Can you say amen? It's a mind, a girded up mind is a mind of love and obedience. A girded up mind is a mind that is being renewed on a daily basis. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word renewing means a renovation. A complete change for the better. Our mind is renewed by the washing of water, by the what? By the word. We go back to, we have girded up our mind with, our girded up our lives with truth, the truth in our relationship with Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. And it, as we do that, we are girding up our minds and we are renewing our minds on the daily basis. We are being changed daily into his image. Can you say amen? By the renewing of our minds. A change for the better. Thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm in process. Can you say amen? I'm being renewed on a daily basis. And it starts right here. The first time when we allow doubt and depression and discouragement to get in our mind, you know what happens to our renewing process? I know that's a fancy term, but hello. Make sure Diane's still awake. Somebody said something about being excited. Diane says, yeah, I got to be excited. That'll help me stay awake. You know, if you're the pastor sitting in front of somebody like that, that is just super encouraging. Diane can whip me later. A girded up mind is a mind of willingness and acceptance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. For if there first be a willing, if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. A willing mind is a mind of readiness and a mind of eagerness. When God speaks to us, yes, Lord, I'm ready. When God says go, yes, Lord, I'm willing. When the word says do it this way, yes, Lord, I'm willing to obey your truth. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to hear you. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to follow. God, I'm willing. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but God, I've got a willing mind. Can I tell you, God will always fill in the blanks. God will always take care of the details. I was talking to Brother John Robinson, the district Royal Ranger commander. And he says, you know, he says every time that God, basically said every time that God has called me, he called me to be a children's pastor. He said, Lord, I don't know how to do that, and had a very successful children's ministry. And then he called him to be a youth pastor. He said, Lord, I sure don't know how to do that, and I must be crazy. You must be crazy. He said, I don't know how to do that. He said, for the first 2 years, he had a total of 5 students. He was ready to give up. He was ready to throw in the towel. But God spoke to him one day and says, I have called you to set an example for these children. You just got to be willing and I will equip you. Don't give up and don't give in. He said, Lord, forgive me for doubting you and forgive me for doubting your ability in me. He said, from that point on, the youth group began to explode. They went from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 to 40. Half of the children that were in his youth group, half of the young people are in ministry today. That's awesome. But it had to be somebody that had a willing mind to say, Lord, I don't have all the answers, but I'm trusting in you, oh God. And I want to be with a hallelujah. A girded up mind is a Christ-like mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, how can we have the mind of Christ? What was Christ's mindset? He said, I always seek to please who? He said, I didn't come to be served, but to what? To serve and give my life as a ransom for many. If we'll have the mind of Christ to always look to please the Father. A girded up mind is a mind of humility, a mind of humbleness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. One of the greatest dangers that will mess with our minds is pride and arrogance. One of the greatest things that will, that will stop a move of God in our hearts and our lives and will rob us of faith when we think we know how to do it. When we're trusting in our own strength instead of His. That's why we've got to stay humble. The Bible says, whereby God gives more grace to the who? To the humble, and He resists the proud. A girded up mind is a mind of humility that depends and trusts in God. A girded up mind is a mind of soundness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is for somebody tonight because we're going to have a time in just a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A mind, that word sound mind means a mind of calmness. A mind of discipline, a mind of self-control. Even when the battle seems to be raging all around, can you say amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you say amen? That's just a few things that a girded-up mind is made up of. But an ungirded mind, say an ungirded mind, is headed for turmoil. An ungirded mind is headed for trouble. An ungirded mind is headed for instability. James 1, verse 8 talks about that just a little bit. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in a good bit of his ways. No, a double-minded man is unstable in how many? All of his ways. Not some. What does it mean to be double-minded, Pastor Doss? It means to be two-spirited, vacillating in opinion and purpose, divided in wavering interest, uncertain, doubtful. It goes on to say a little bit after that in James chapter 1, verse 9, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. See, the thing about it, a double-minded man, if we want to use a term for being double-minded, is a wishy-washy. Hello? You know anybody that's wishy-washy? Don't look at them. I'm just joking. They're not here tonight. Sometimes we can all be a little bit double-minded. But can I tell you, once we know we've heard from the Lord, then that's what we need to stick with. Can you say amen? When we gird up our minds, we are ready for battle. We've got our loins girded. We've got our loins girded about with truth, and we're in right relationship with Jesus Christ. We are standing on His Word, and our minds are girded up. We are ready for battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Some of the biggest strongholds are in our mind and our attitude and our thought processes. I love the story of David and Goliath. Here's this little, ruddy, red-headed guy, boy, a teenager. You got all these mighty men of battle that are hit out because this one giant comes and challenges them, and they are cowering down. You know why? Because they lost the battle of the mind. They lost the argument in their mind. Their minds were not girded up. He had not even fired a shot. He didn't have a gun. He had not even swung a sword. All he did was run his mouth until David showed up. And David said, "Is there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that cursed the armies of our God?" And he went out to face that giant after he had to deal with Saul a little bit. Saul tried to put his armor on him. He said, "No, I can't go with that. I've not tried them." So he got his sling and he got his rod. He went down and got him five smooth stones. He went out there and Goliath looked at him. He said, "Are you kidding me?" He says, you gonna come out at me with a stick and like a dog?" David looked at him. Nothing's been swung yet at all. But David's done got the battle of the mind won. He said, "You come to me with a spear and a sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord. This day, God's going to give me your head, and we are going to win the victory." Can you say amen? He had already won the battle. Can you say amen? It was in his mind. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. If you get the battle in your mind won, if you get your mind girded up, if you get your mind off the negative and off the lies and off the discouragement and off the depression and on the things of God that says, "I am more than a conqueror. I am able to overcome. I do have the victory through Jesus Christ." You've already got the battle won. Can you say amen? And Satan has to flee. Come on, somebody. With a girded up mind, we are ready for battle. A girded up mind is a mighty weapon of spiritual warfare against the enemy. Only with a girded up mind submitted to God can we fully resist the enemy and make him flee. One of the greatest weapons of protection and provision and peace for our minds is a fervent, fervent prayer life. A fervent prayer life is one of the most powerful ways we gird up our minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Don't be fearful. Where are all those emotions found? What's he tell us to be anxious for? "But with everything." How much stuff? Everything. Say it again. Everything. How much? Everything. The big things? Yes. The small things? Yes. Everything. Everything. The medium things? Everything. "By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we truly turn those things over to the Lord, when we take all our cares and all our fears and all our discouragement and all our depression, and we truly turn those things over to the Lord, and we thank Him that not because we have them, because He is greater than those things. God, we thank You that You're going to give me the victory. God, that You're going to give me peace. God, that You're going to protect my heart and my mind through this. When we truly turn them over to Him, it says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your heart. He will watch over your mind. That's that part of that helmet of salvation. He will get complete covering over your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And there's no devil in hell that can get through that. There's no pill that can replace it. There's no drink that can mock it. There's no drug that can chase it. There's not enough money to buy it. But when you get down and on your knees and you pray until you feel God's peace come upon your spirit and upon your, the old time saints called it praying through. We don't know much about that anymore. But we're going to have to get to know more about it. When we learn to pray through until we feel the peace of God. I love when we are down here praying for folks, or I love when we're down here at this altar, or we're somebody in somebody's home or in somebody's business and we're praying for something. They're troubled in their mind, and all of a sudden, you can't deny it. All of a sudden, you just feel something begin to run all over you as a blanket. It's the peace of God that comes. The situation may not change on the outside, but the battle's been won on the inside. The peace of God has come all over your mind and your heart and your spirit. Guess what? When God's peace is there, you can face another day. You can make another step. You can fight another battle because you know you're not fighting by yourself. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. You're ready for battle. Girded up mind is a made up mind, a mind of readiness. Paul found some trouble here and there. Acts chapter 17 verse 10 says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They received the word. They accepted the word, and they were willing, they were ready, they were receptive, they were eager, which led them to have a made-up mind. They said, yes, these things are so, and they didn't let go of them. They had girded up their minds. Can you say amen? We are to gird up the loins of our mind. When Joshua challenged the children of Israel, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of you know when they went into the promised land, they had some battles to fight? They had some cities to conquer. They had some giants to cast down. But Joshua says, you've got to make a choice whom you're going to serve. You've got to make a choice whom you're going to let rule your thought process. You've got to make a choice whom you're going to let rule your home and rule your family. He says, but as for me or my house, we will serve the Lord. He already had the victory won in his mind. Can you say amen? He had girded up his mind. Elisha, facing a whole nation, 850 prophets on Mount Carmel, they have a showdown. And Elisha asked him this question. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Again, a choice. We know the rest of that story. He put a challenge to them, and the whole nation of Israel and all their false prophets couldn't call down anything, a spark. But Elisha prayed a little few word prayer, and the fire of God fell, because his mind was set on God. Amen. And it turned a people's heart back to God, because he had a made up mind. He had a girded up mind. Closing tonight, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told them to sacrifice a perfect lamb. See, he said to place that lamb's blood over the doorpost, and completely partake of the lamb. But he gave some very specific instructions how they were to do that. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, he says, and thus shall you eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They had to be girded up. They had to be ready to go. Why? Because when the death angel passed over, when he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Because as soon as the Passover was through, they had to be ready to get out of Egypt. They had to be ready to go for the promised land, but they had to be girded up and ready to go. How many of you know that is just a type and a shadow of the good things to come? Jesus in our text is talking about his coming. He is the Lamb of God. We must partake of him completely, but not take his blood has been shed, but not put him over the doors of our house, but the doors of our heart. Jesus is about to come and deliver us from this old sinful world and take us to that promised land above. But we must have our loins girded about. We must be girded with truth. We must be in right relationship with him. We must be standing upon his word. We must have our minds girded up in order to be able to head to that promised land, in order to be able to be ready for his return. Is your mind girded up? Is your mind girded up tonight? Is your mind girded up tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand.